Well, I want to go to John chapter 3 today, a very familiar text to most of you. I would say all of you, I suspect. And we're going to look at a fellow named Nicodemus, a man named Nicodemus. And if you look in John chapter 3, you will see in John chapter 3 a religious man who is on his way to hell. A religious man. And my, that ought to be a red flag to us. Just because we go to church doesn't guarantee that we're going to heaven. That ought to be a flag to us, our Nicodemus church-going man. We go to John chapter 4, and we see a harlot woman. She had had five husbands, and the one she's living with was not her husband. And she was on her way to hell. She was a sinner. You'd say she rightfully so. She's a wicked sinner. She's a fornicator, an adulterer. But in John chapter 3, the Nicodemus just as lost as she was. But can I tell you, the same Savior saved both of them. Well, hallelujah. John chapter 5, there's a man who was, let me see what the word says for this. This fellow, a certain man was there which had an infirmity. That's the word I was looking for. 38 years. No doubt it was in his legs because he couldn't get to the water. And he didn't have anybody to help him. No man to help him for 38 years. I guess 38 years. But there came a man that helped him. The same man that helped Nicodemus. It's the same man that helped the woman, the harlot in John 4, and the same man that helped the unhelpable man, if you'll let me say that, in John chapter 5, helped everyone. In fact, Jesus, there's no case too hard for Jesus. And I just want you to understand that today. And so we're going to talk about today for just a little bit. And I just kindly got on me, and so I'm going to give this to you. Nicodemus, I want to read a little bit in John chapter 3, and then we're going to talk about some things. And one of my most preached passages in the Bible. The Bible says this: there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born again, be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I've told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now get this, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. I want you to get this next part. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And so I'm going to stop right there. I want you to pray with me and for me, if you would. Our dear Heavenly Father, Jesus' name, we come to you this morning. And Lord, we really need you to help us. You know I'm just trying to be obedient. You know, Father, I'm very unprepared, and I ask you to just help me now. Just help me to preach in a way that bring glory and honor to you. Hide me behind the cross, Father. And may this little group of believers and this little congregation see you, not me, Father. That's what's important, that they see you high and lifted up. Oh, God, help us this morning. And if there happens to be a sinner in our midst, Father, would you please speak to their heart and convict them and draw them to you and save them by your marvelous grace. And I'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Well, I don't know. Maybe I'll just talk to you this morning instead of preach to you or teach to you, whatever you want to say. But here is a man in John chapter 3 and verse 1, and there's much good we could say about this man. And we could say this, the Bible says this, he was a Pharisee. A Pharisee, I believe it's Luke. I'm going to look right quick. I know I've run the risk of, here it is. I want to read to you the Pharisees' mindset. I want you to think about their mindset for just a minute. And in Luke 18 and verse 9, I'll read this to you. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. It said this. Now that he's speaking of the Pharisees, which trusted. He's speaking unto certain. That's the Pharisees, which trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Here's what the Pharisees said: we're a holy bunch, we're a righteous bunch, and they, because of their high esteem of themselves, it says, and despised others. And then he told this story. Now keep in mind, Nicodemus is part of this crowd, thinks they're righteous, despises others. We might say this, he's of that holier than thou crowd. I mean, he's up here so much better than everybody else, he's looking down at these others. And so Jesus said in the text I'm reading, spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. And he said this, two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Now Pharisees, what Nicodemus was, a religious man and a church-going man. And a man that put money in the offering plate and maybe shook the high priest's hand if he preached a good message. And I understand they didn't have church like we do, but I'm just trying to get you to see that had Nicodemus lived today, he would have been in a big church. He would have wore fine clothes. He'd have carried a Bible under his arm. He'd sit on the church pew every Sunday morning. He could have quoted scripture. He most likely could have sung in the choir. He would have been well thought up. People would have looked at him and said, my, what a good godly man that is. But Nicodemus was lost. Nicodemus was lost. Oh, my. And Nicodemus was a Pharisee, and if he was like all the other Pharisees, he thought he was a good man. In fact, he thought he was better than most men. But the Bible tells this about the Pharisees. It said two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And you know this, the publican, just an old vile sinner. And it said this, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Here's the prayer of a good Pharisee. God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. That's the Pharisee's attitude. Now the fact of the matter was they were extortioners. And they were adulterers. But they just hid it and they thought they could hide it from God. I must say this, they lived in denial. They said everything's all right when everything wasn't all right. They wouldn't be honest with themselves even, let alone with God. They wouldn't be honest with God, let alone themselves, ought to say. In fact, I believe they'd almost convince themselves they was right. My, I think these people today that's on their way to hell, but they've been convinced and they've convinced themselves that everything is all right between them and God. And so here he is. He says, I thank you that I'm not as others. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. He was unjust. The Pharisees were on their way to hell. They were religious, but they were lost. He was unjust, but he said, I thank you that I'm not unjust. He's confused. He said, I thank you, I'm not an adulterer, even this publican. And then he starts talking about what he does. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Do you think that impressed the Lord? Not one bit. You know what the Bible says? I tell you all the time. It says this, that our righteousness is as filthy rags. Here's what it's really saying. The best you can muster up will not do. Do all the good works you can do and it will not hold up at the judgment seat if you're lost at the great white throne judgment. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 20 says, therefore by the deeds of the law, the commandments, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Not the escape of sin, but the knowledge of sin. You say, I'll just keep the Ten Commandments. I'll be a good neighbor. I'll be a good husband. I'll be a good daddy. I'll be a good granddaddy. I'll be this and I'll be that. Can I tell you, when you stand before the Lord, He'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. That's what He'll say. Well, here He is. And the publican, the Pharisee said, in his prayer, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. But the old sinner man, he prayed just a little bit different. The old publican prayed a little different. And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Here's what he said. I don't deserve anything, but God, would you just show me mercy? I won't tell you, that'll get the job done right there, Brother Miller. That'll get it done. When you just admit what you are, you come clean, and you're honest with God, and He knows you're being honest-hearted with Him, and you're asking Him to help you, can I tell you, that'll touch the heart of God. Amen. Amen. Well, then Jesus goes on and says, I tell you this, speaking of the publican, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. What the Bible says. The Pharisees were a proud bunch. How far Nicodemus had bought into this Phariseeism, I don't know. But as we come to chapter 3, we see a Pharisee. The tendency, no doubt in his life, is to think, I'm good enough. I'm above average. I'm superior. There's a lot I don't do that others do. And so here's the guy. I'm wanting to get you a picture of who Nicodemus is. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, and we see the Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews. That indicates to me most likely was a member of the Sanhedrin. That's just what I think. But he was a ruler. I mean, he had a position. He wasn't just an ordinary man. He'd be one of the big shots down here in Maryville. I mean, he'd have a position. He'd be in charge of some things. He'd be ruling and overseeing and here's what we say, he's a successful man. But notice what else it says. The same came to Jesus by night. And start, I always think about that. Why did he come to Jesus? Now you might say this, he had ambition to go farther. He may have thought Jesus was going to set up a kingdom. And if he was, he wanted to get in on it on the early stages so he could be high in that kingdom. Maybe that's so. But can I tell you what I think? I think deep in his soul, he wasn't satisfied. I don't believe his religion gave him peace in his heart. I believe he had it all, but he knew down inside he was empty and void. I know he's a ruler. I know he's a big shot. I know he's a Pharisee, and everybody looked up to him, thought he's somebody. But in his heart, he knew something was missing. That's what I believe with all my heart. Here he is. He's got it all. And most of those Pharisees, they had plenty of money. And I don't doubt that Nicodemus didn't have a pot full of money stuck away somewhere. And he just had it all. But he come to lowly Jesus. You may be here this morning. The outside just looks wonderful. You're a churchgoer. People think you're a good person. Fact of the matter is, you try to do right. Fact of the matter is, you may be successful. Fact of the matter is, you may put money in the offering plate, whatever else there is to do, and you say this, I've just got it all. Deep in your soul, there's an empty spot, there's a void. There's a longing for something that you don't have. I think that's where Nicodemus was at. I really believe that. I just want to tell you things and position and power and titles and authority. They won't satisfy deep inside. When you lay your head down on your pillow at night and everything gets stilled, it's just you and the Lord. If you don't have Him down on the inside, there won't be any peace, any joy, any content. I think that's where Nicodemus was. He had it all on the outside, but he didn't have anything on the inside. He didn't have Jesus on the inside. I'm just going to say this to you. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have anything. I don't care how much money and power, position, fame or fortune, if you don't have the Lord in your life living down on the inside, can I tell you, you don't have anything. You don't have nothing. That's where Nicodemus was. I'm comfortable with that. He's searching for something. That's why he came to Jesus. He's looking. He's desiring something, and he's kind of on the look and the prowl for it. And he hears about this new movement that's taking place, and he's interested in it because he's empty. And so he comes to Jesus, and he says this to him. He acts like he knows. So many people think they know so much about spiritual matters, and Nicodemus was there too, and he's a sinner, keep in mind. And he said this, "We know." I guess that's the Pharisees, the "we." "We know that thou art a teacher come from God." Gives us insight into the Pharisees. They knew that Jesus came from God, yet they crucified him anyway. You stop and think about that. "We know that thou art a teacher." Now, they didn't know everything. He was a teacher come from God. I mean, Nicodemus was right. What truth he had was right, but he only had part truth. He only had partial truth. He didn't know that Jesus is much more than a teacher. Hey, he's Savior. He's the Lord. He's God. He's the Creator. He's the Lamb of God. He's our substitute. He's the great I Am. Oh, he's the resurrection and the life. He's the way of the truth. He knew he was a teacher, but he didn't know who Jesus was. He only knew part truth. "Oh my," he said, "we know that thou art a teacher come from God." Then he said this, "for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Now I could talk to you about that little. We know in the last days the devil's going to deceive with miracles and signs. And so I understand what Nicodemus was saying. Signs were an indicator that they were from God back then. We must be careful of that in our day. Here's what it said. "Well, no man can do these miracles without thou doest except God be with him." And verse number 3, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee." It's like they're talking two different conversations. Nicodemus said, "Hey, we know you're from God. You're a teacher from God, because nobody can do what you've done unless God helps you do it." And then Jesus says something. It's just like, instead of saying, "Well, thank you. I appreciate you saying that. But let me tell you more about who I am." Here's what Jesus says to him. Jesus said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And you may be here, and here's what you may be thinking. You may be thinking this, "Well, I can just do good and I'll go to heaven." Jesus said, "Except," let me read it to you exactly, "except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." "Well, I'll just go to church and that'll get me into heaven." "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now this is something Nicodemus never had heard anything like this. This is something new. I mean, Nicodemus, he thought, "Well, I'm a Pharisee. That's going to get me in. I'm religious. I'm a Baptist. That'll get me to heaven." I tell you, there's a lot of Baptists in hell today. Well, you say amen or oh me, but that's so. That's how it is. You know it's right. There's a lot of Baptist denominations and religious titles and your good works will all land you in the pit of hell one of these days. "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." That's the Word of God. That's not me. You say, "That don't make sense. It ought to be if I just live good that I'll go to heaven." Well, maybe that's how you think it ought to be. But God's always right. And he said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." That's how it is. And there's a lot of folks sat on church pews for 20 and 30 years that still don't buy. They won't accept that truth or buy that truth or whatever phrase you want to use. They won't receive it. They don't think it's so, but Jesus said it. It's so then and it's so today. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's how simple it is. These preachers preach it the other way. But the Bible, that is God's Word, isn't it? I did read it right, didn't I? Did I twist it? You say, but old Uncle so-and-so, he was this and good man. I'm pretty sure he's in heaven except the man be born again. He cannot see the kingdom of God. That's what it says. That's what God said. You say it don't make sense. Take it up with God. I'm just telling you what the Word of God has to say about the matter. You say, well, I grew up thinking this. I hate to burst your bubble, but the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. This book's right. All right, here's this religious man. He's come to Jesus. There's one thing, good thing I can say about him. He come to the right one. Hey, if you want to find out the truth about something or find out the details on something, go to Jesus. Listen to him. Hey, where's Jesus talked to us at? Right here, out of the Word of God. Isn't that where we get what God has to say about a matter? This is our final authority for truth. I mean, when we want to know what truth is, we don't call the University of Tennessee up and say, hey, we want to speak to Dr. So-and-so in the theology or religious department, whatever they call it over there. We look to the Word of God. And here's what he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You say, my, well, what is that? How do you get born again? Well, we're going to find out. Now, here's Nicodemus. So, Jesus made a statement. I want you to get this statement. I want everybody in this room to get this statement. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, just get that in your head. Now, I could take you over to Matthew. And I think I will read it to you. You don't have to turn. But here's what it says. If I can get there quick enough, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works. There's the works crowd. There's Cain's group right there that says, hey, I'll do it my way. It'll be the works of my hands and not the shed blood of the Lamb of God. That's Cain's way. They went after Cain's way of working the way in. While we've cast out devils, we've done many wonderful works. We've prophesied in thy name. And he said, come on in, you've done a good job. No, that's not what he said. Here's what he said. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. I never knew who you are. I don't even know you as a child of God. I never knew you, never. Not I once knew you. You messed up, I forgot you. I never knew you. And then he said, because of that, depart from me. Not ye had done many wonderful works, but ye that work iniquity. He called that casting out devils, that prophesying in his name, and that many wonderful works, he called it a work of iniquity. You see, what we look at and how we judge is one thing. How God sees it's another. That's exactly right. Well, here's Nicodemus. Now, I ain't hardly got past verse 2. Verse 3, rather. But then Nicodemus responds. He said, except a man be born again, He cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus responds. He really doesn't stump Nicodemus. He really doesn't. I mean, Nicodemus is not intimidated, is what I'm trying to say. Nicodemus begins to reason with the Lord. He listens to what the Lord said. He's listening. I want to say this, you ever going to get help, you're going to have to listen to what the Word of God has to say. If you're not willing to listen to God's Word, you'll never get help from God. Amen. Well, here's what he said. How can a man be born when he's old? He accepted what he said. Okay, a man has to be born again. But here's what he said. He's being honest. He's a big shot, but he said, I don't understand. If he's putting in my words today, East Tennessee language, he'd say, you have to be born again. I don't understand what you're talking about. How can I go back my mother's womb and be born again? If you don't understand, you're going to have to be honest enough with the Lord to tell him, I just don't understand. There's a lot of folks, they just don't understand. You've got to be honest with the Lord. If you don't understand, you don't understand. It's not a shame, but it's a shame when you don't understand to act like you do understand. Amen. And so here he is. He's just honest. He ain't playing games. He ain't trying to play little word games to manipulate Jesus, get him to do what he wants to do. He said, I don't understand how you'd be born again, do you? How in the world can I enter into can he enter? Verse 4, just read the way he said it. Can he enter the second time to his mother's womb and be born? Now Jesus is getting ready to expound some great truth to Nicodemus, and really would be great truth to a lot of folks today if they just listen. Jesus said in verse 5, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, what does that mean? There's several little theories on that. Some even say that water's baptism and different things. But Jesus said, except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And then he explains it. When he gives you something like that to wallow around with and maybe two or three ways to look at it, he'll generally explain it. And here's what he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. I'm as convinced as I'm standing here, and there's some great preachers that would disagree with me, but that water birth is the physical birth. The second birth of the Spirit, the spiritual birth, it's a spiritual birth. And what do you mean by that? Now you're saying I can't go to heaven except I'm born spiritually. Well, how are you born spiritually? I mean, how is it? We know how the physical birth operates, but how is it the spiritual birth operates? Nicodemus don't know. And there's thousands of religious people today that don't know. And so Jesus is going to elaborate on that. He goes on and says in verse 6, he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And then he said this to Nicodemus, don't marvel at that. Don't act like I'm saying something that's way out there. Don't act like I'm saying something that's weird. No, marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. He said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell when it cometh and whither it go. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. He said, this spiritual birth is something you can't see physically when it takes place. You can't see the wind. You know there's a wind out there. Isn't that right? People say, well, I got to see it to believe it. You can't see the wind. You go by what you feel. You go by the effects that the wind has. You don't see the wind. You see the trees moving. You feel it hitting your body. And you know there is a wind, but you don't see it. Well, he said that's the way it is, the spiritual birth. You can see the effects of it, but you can't see the birth. That's what he's trying to get across. He's letting him know this ain't something you can lay your eyes on. It's spiritual matters. It's something that happens down on the inside of a man, and you can't see that. Salvation's of the Lord. That's between you and the Lord. Nobody else is involved in it. It's personal. That's what he's trying to say. And then in verse 9, Nicodemus, he's still confused. He's confused. He just can't lay hold to it. You got to be born again. He just thought you was a good person that took care of it. Then verse number 9, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can this be? How can this be? I don't understand how this can be. He's still asking that question, how? What he's saying, I just can't get it. And so the Lord's going to talk to him longer. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said, Why, art thou a master of Israel? Knowest not these things? You're a big shot here in the country of Israel. You're a ruler. You own the Sanhedrin. You're this and you're that. And you can't get this little truth right here. You don't understand about the wind and the spiritual birth. And he goes on and said, Why, if I've told you earthly things, if I've told you about the wind, you can't get that. How are you going to understand spiritual matters? I told you earthly things, you believe not. How shall you believe? I tell you heavenly things. But then he does tell him of heavenly things. He tells him how you can be born again. Let me ask you this. Do you know how you can be born again? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Do you know how you can be born again? Young folk, maybe that's reached the age of accountability, do you know how you can be born again and go to heaven? Well, Nicodemus didn't know. Him a grown man, a ruler of Israel, a Pharisee, and somewhere in my mind, if he was on the Sanhedrin, I've got it in my mind that they had to have 5 books of the Old Testament memorized. I think that's tradition. I know it's not in the Bible, but I have heard that. So he had much scripture memorized, but he's saying, I don't understand. I don't know how to get to heaven. That's what this man's saying. This educated man's saying, I don't understand how you're saying what we need to do to get to heaven. And so Jesus is going to get down to business with him. And he says this in verse 14. And I'm going to skip, I'll read 13. I don't want to say much about it. No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. We see the omnipresence of the Lord. He's on earth. He was in heaven. Read verse 13. It's there. But verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now here's what's happening in the wilderness without me going back over and telling you. The children of Israel had sinned, and the snake, the serpents had come in and were biting the people. And when the serpents would bite them, they would die. And they began to cry out and said, we've sinned, intercede for us, Moses. And you know the story, most of you do. Here's what the Lord told Moses to do. Make a brazen, get a brazen pole, put a brazen serpent on that pole. A pole in the serpent made out of brass. Brass speaks of judgment. That serpent speaks of sin. And make that pole and that brass, and everybody that gets bit by the serpent, if they'll look at that pole, they'll be healed. You say that wouldn't heal anybody. It did back then, because that's the plan God set up to heal people. He said, you just look, when if that snake bites you and you're dying, you look at that pole, all you have to do is look and live. That's what he said. And so now, he knows Nicodemus knows that Old Testament. And so he says this, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Who is the Son of Man? Why, it's Jesus. He has 4 titles. I can't remember all of them. Son of Man, Son of God, Son of Abraham, Son of David. I believe that's the 4 of them. You'll find Jesus called all 4 of those. He'll be called the Son of those in the Word of God. Here he uses the Son of Man. I guess he uses that the most. And he says the Son of Man Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Like that brass serpent had to be lifted up, and them look to that, those that were bid, if they wanted to live, they look to that serpent. Even so must Jesus be lifted up. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean, Jesus be? I know this elementary to some of you. I understand that. But it might not be so elementary to everybody and to some of these children. That's here. It wasn't elementary to Nicodemus. And him a grown man, him a religious man, been in church a good part of his life, I guess. But here's what he said, the Son, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now here's what he said. He's talking about perishing now. He was talking about getting into the kingdom of God. So now we're saying if you don't get into the kingdom of God, you perish. Would that be a fair statement? I mean, you have to get into the kingdom of God to have eternal life, but if you don't get into the kingdom of God, you're going to perish. And he said this, the Son of Man, which was Jesus, has to be lifted up so you can escape perishing. So what that tells us, Jesus is involved in this thing of being born again and having eternal spiritual life. That's what he's trying to say. It ain't about Phariseeism. It's about Jesus. It ain't about position. It's about Jesus. Salvation's not about good works. It's about Jesus being lifted up. That's what he's saying. And so as Moses, verse 14, was lifted up the, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, not the end of the sentence, but a colon, that whosoever. Now who is the whosoever? I mean, who is it? Are you a whosoever? Are you a whosoever? Is that everybody? Who is everybody? The whole world. He died for the whole world. That's right. Here's what he said. That whosoever, you say, I've been too mean for God to save me. He said whosoever. I think that means the meanest of the meanest. The Apostle Paul said this, I'm chief of sinners. The Apostle Paul said, I'm the chief sinner. God save him. If he'll save the chief sinner, I believe he'll save you, don't you? You say you don't know what I've done. Jesus does. He knew what you was going to do when he hung on the cross. He paid the price for the sins that you one day would commit. That's some sins you commit next week. Jesus already paid the price for. My, it stirs me up. He's already paid the price for. You say, why? Them's future sins. All your sins was future when Jesus died on the cross. Ain't that right? Sure it was. Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so much Son of Man be lifted up, whosoever. That includes every man, woman, boy, and girl in this building this morning. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now he's going to go on. He's saying this, you've got to believe in Him. For God so loved the world. He's explaining the Son of Man being lifted up. He's letting you know how this Son of Man was lifted up. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now here's the gospel. Here's the gospel in a nutshell. The Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, looked down at man. When He created man, He knew it ahead of time. He knew he's going to fall in the garden. He knew men's going to be plunged into sin. And when mankind, we're born in sin. Hey, there's little babies in this room. That little baby Sister Heather has back there has the sin curse on it. Now, I understand the age of accountability, and David's little baby died, and he said, I can't bring him back, but I can go to him. We know babies go to heaven until they come to the age of accountability. I'm not saying that. But someday that little baby's going to come to the age of accountability. And it's sweet and it's precious and as loving as it is, it's going to be a sinner under the curse. Under the curse of sin. That's right. Every man, woman, boy, and girl in this building is born under the curse of sin. You can be sure of that. For as in Adam, all die. Spiritually, all die. Oh my. And so the Bible says, for God so loved the world. He saw us in a fallen state. And He loved us. He could have just wiped us out, started all over again with a new creation, but He loved us. And sinner, if you're here in this auditorium this morning, I want you to know this little fact. Jesus and God love you. They love you. They love you so much that God gave His only begotten Son to hang on a cross and suffer your penalty for sin that you should have had to pay for. That's right. You ought to have to pay for your sin. That's justice. But God knew we wasn't fit to even pay for our own sins. We're too bankrupt to pay our own sin debt. That's right. We couldn't save ourselves. So God sent His only begotten Son to this world. He lived a sinless life. Never committed one sin. Preacher, do you believe Jesus never sinned? I believe it with all my heart this morning. Why? The Bible told me He didn't sin. And it's my authority for truth. But here's what He done. He took our sins upon Him. He became sin for us. That's right. And I can read you all those scriptures, but I'm not preaching her right now. I'm just giving you the gospel. He took our sins upon Him. Every sin you've ever committed, ever will commit, ever will in the future commit, Jesus took those sins upon Him. And He marched up Calvary's hill. And He hung on a cross. And for 6 hours, He paid sin's penalty for you and I. What a Savior. What a Savior. They blacked out the lights. They let man have Him for 3 hours. Blacked out the lights and the devil had Him. And his bunch had Him for 3 hours. That's the way I believe it anyway. And then after 6 hours, here's what He said. It's finished. I paid the debt in full. Sin debt's been met. He gave up the ghost. He had to give it up because He was life. He was life. And why He would die for a bunch of dead dogs like us, dirty, no good people like us, I don't know. Other than I just say the love of God goes far greater than I'd even fathom today. I can't imagine Him loving somebody that would abuse little children. Just think about the worst possible thing that could be done. Can I tell you, the Lord paid the price. He took that on Himself and paid the price there on Calvary. Well, glory to God. You think about some of the things you've done. He paid the price for your sin. God said justice has to be served, so they lifted Him up there on the cross. It's like that old serpent's lifted up. And the judgment of God for your sins was placed on Jesus. Well, glory to God. He's our substitute. He took our place. He became sin for us. He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Verse 16 said, for God so loved the world. Boy, if we could get a hold of that, just really what that was. Some of you will tell me sometimes, and a lot of times kindly to the side, some of the things you was involved in when you was in sin, I wouldn't be proud of them either. And my, it's so terrible. But aren't you glad the Lord paid the price, and when you called on Him, He just washed that off your record? Don't even exist. Brother Bud will tell you he lived a sinful life, wasn't saved at a young age. Brother Bud, we'd all been there if we hadn't been saved at a young age. Wasn't saved at a young age, lived a sinful life. Brother Bud, that morning you knelt in your bathroom is just all erased from the record. A new beginning, a new start. Brother Miller, you talk about some of the things sin to just wiped away at 29 years old. You got to start all over again. Well, glory to God. What a good Savior. He paid the price for our sins. He shed His blood. Without the shedding blood, there's no remission. Shed His blood, give His life. And they buried Him. And the devil thought, I've won. I've got it. It's over. This is it. But He said, destroy this temple in 3 days. I'll raise it up again. Well, you know what happened. 3 days. Devil, I guess we dramatize it someday. Sometimes preachers do, and they'll say day one, the devil calls, everything okay. Yeah, death says it's fine. We've got it. Day two, yeah, we've got it. Day three, oh, we might have a problem here. He's starting to move around. Something's moving around here. I don't know what we can do. Bottom line, here's what happened the third day. He come out of that old grave. Hallelujah. Come out victorious. You believe a man rose from the grave? I believe the God-man did. I believe He rose from the grave, Brother James, on the third and appointed day, just like He said He's going to do. He done just what He said He's going to do. That's exactly right. The third day rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And He's alive forevermore. Amen. He's ascended back to the Father, sitting at the right hand of the Father. And He's able to save the uttermost. Everyone will come to the Father by Him. Just the way it is. Well, here's what he's talking to Nicodemus, and he's told him, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, how? And he said, well, it's about Jesus being lifted up. And you believe in putting your faith in Him. That's what it's about. And when you look to Jesus and you put faith in Him, then you're going to be saved. You'll have everlasting life. And that what He's really saying is, that's what the new birth is all about. He's saying this thing of a new life. Having a new life and being born together. That's what a new birth does, produces new life. And He said, if you believe in what Jesus did, put your faith and what the Lord Jesus Christ did, you get a new life. You get born again, a new life, a spiritual life, an everlasting life, one that will never cease in me. He said, that's what the new birth is about. That's how. He said, Nicodemus, that's how. It's about Jesus being lifted up like that serpent in the wilderness. That's what He's saying. He's saying, that's where you get spiritual life at. It's a birth, a new man. That is so. There is a physical man and a spiritual man. We know that. And then He said this in verse 18, he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. If you haven't believed, you're condemned already. There may be somebody here today, really you haven't believed. From your heart or from the inside. Now, let me just tell you what's going to happen one day. One day, God's going to deal with you on the inside and make it real that you're a sinner. Do y'all remember when He started dealing with you? Plain as day, Brother Allen. I remember conviction and the terrors and the horror of Holy Ghost conviction. I remember it. God will deal with you. He'll make it real to you. And the preacher preaches, it's going to feel like he's preaching just at you. That night I got saved, it's like the preacher was just preaching right at me. And the Holy Ghost had made it real I was a sinner and I was on my way to hell. He spoke to me in my heart, not audibly, but in my heart, and told me, if you die, you're going to hell. And it was a reality to me. And I was scared. And I was frightful. And the Holy Ghost will do you that way. One day He'll seek you out. And He'll start dealing with you. And I made a false profession. I knelt down 2 or 3 years earlier and said, I got that the Lord saved me, but I really wasn't saved. And when the Holy Ghost started dealing with me, I knew I wasn't saved. There wasn't anybody that had to tell me. I knew I wasn't saved. I knew I was going to hell. And when the Holy Ghost deals with you, that's when you be saved. No man come to the Father. Well, let me just read it to you. It's John 6, I believe it's 6 and 40. John 6 and 44, if I'm not mistaken. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. There has to be a drawing. That's Holy Ghost conviction. And I'm going to tell you, you'll not be saved till Holy Ghost conviction settles in your heart. But if it does, if God's dealing with your heart, that's when you need to be saved. Jesus paid for your sins. Now, here's what some of you say. Well, how can I know that I've been saved? Well, let me give you just a... If I can find it right quick, I'll read you about 3 scriptures and we'll be done this morning. If I can find it. Jotted these down. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14. See, some people's not sure. And the reason they're not sure is a couple of things. Number one, the devil's a liar. And when you're right, he'll tell you you're wrong. And when you're wrong, he'll tell you you're all right. And so sometimes the devil just tries to mess with God's people. But there's some things that you can judge. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14, it says this, we know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. You have love for the God's people. That's a way you know you pass from death unto life. You love God's people. You don't have no use for God's people, the house of God, the Word of God, the man of God, the songs of God. You've got a suspect profession. Because you love God's people. Well, let's look at chapter 3. And verse number 5. I believe it's verse number 5. Maybe it's chapter 2, verse number 5. Yeah, chapter 2, verse number 5. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. When you obey the word of God, that's evidence and proof you've been born again. You don't work to be saved, but after you are saved, you'll live right. Amen. You'll want to live right. And so that's proof of your salvation. And then chapter 3 and verse 24, he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. The indwelling Holy Spirit, chapter 4 and verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us because he hath given us of his Spirit. Does the Holy Spirit abide down on the inside of you? Do you love the brethren? Do you keep the Word of God and want to live right? Those are evidences you've been born again. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. We'll close out with this right here. Verse number 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. It doesn't say most men that are in Christ are new creatures. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. I'll ask you this. Can you remember a time when the Lord made you a new creature in Christ Jesus? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. There's a lot of old creatures saying they're saved. never have changed one iota. They've been slipped a counterfeit. Just how it is. I don't know how to say it any other way. Here's what you're saying. Well, preacher, I am under conviction. I am tore up about my spiritual condition. I've not been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. What do I need to do? Let me give you Romans 10 and 17. Brother Allen likes this verse. I like it too, Brother Allen. I believe it's 17. Might be 13. It's 13. I'm sorry. Romans 10 and 13. Here's what it says. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What it says. How are you saved? Calling on the name of the Lord. Here's what I said that night. I didn't understand very much. I know I've kind of just stayed basic this morning, but I didn't understand about propitiation, redemption, sanctification. I couldn't have defined one of those words, any of them big words. Here's what I knew. I was a sinner on my way to hell, and Jesus died for my sins. And He had saved me if I'd come to Him. That's what I thought I knew. That's what I put faith in. I came to the altar very ignorant. Very ignorant. Didn't know hardly anything. Been in church all my life. As just a kid, 12, almost 13 years old. And I knelt down and I said this right here. There wasn't nobody come up there and prayed with me, far as I know. I believe I was just there by myself. I said, God save me. God save me. It's all said, but I said it from my heart. I mean, I'd give $10 billion to have been saved at that moment. God save me. God save me. And He did. He just saved me. He just changed me. I could just feel the load lifted off of me. The load of sin was lifted off of me. I was as carefree as a little bird that night. Just carefree. What'd you do? I called upon the name of the Lord. And He saved me, Brother Allen. And I was born again. I got new life. I was a new creature. I was a spiritual man. And that's how it is. And I've preached to you, I guess, 40 minutes now about the new birth. But it's really this, when God deals with your heart, if you'll call on Him as a sinner, say, God, save me. I put trust in what Jesus did for me there on Calvary. God, save me. Can I tell you, He's faithful and just to save you this morning. That's my message. Brother Allen, come to the piano, with a song, Jordan to the piano. I'm going to ask you to bow your head this morning. I don't know why God changed the message around. I don't know. I can't explain it. But I know I've preached long. I've been very long this morning. I want to ask you, is there somebody here today that say this, Preacher, I need to be saved. Preacher, I'm lost. I need to be saved. I don't want to go to hell. I'm empty down on the inside. All these things I've done, I need my sins forgiven. I can't stand my record that I've got. I need my sins washed away. I want to be saved today. Is there somebody this morning? Let me ask you this. Go ahead. You all go ahead when you get ready. I just wanted somebody to say, Preacher, I don't want to come this morning, but I sure would like for you to pray for me. Does anybody just raise your hand and say, Preacher, pray for me? I won't come back and embarrass you. I won't drag you by the arm to the front, but I'll just slip away in my prayer closet this week. Pray for you. Anybody? Anybody like to raise your hand, just say, pray for me. How about it, sinner? Would you like to come? Be saved. Brother Allen's going to sing a verse or two of a song. You be obedient. Maybe you'd like to come and pray for some of your lost folk. Maybe you've got children or something you need to pray for. Why don't you come this morning? While Brother Allen sings, you obey the Spirit of God.